Well, good evening, everyone. We are here this weekend in the middle of a series on the minor prophets of the Old Testament and taking a break, and you'll see why when we get to the end, strategically, why we place this right in the middle of our series called Keynotes. The world rises and falls on leadership. It is absolutely imperative. If you want to change a community, you change, you train, you empower a leader. And I don't know in my lifetime that I have been a part of a more critical era than we're in right now. In Dayton, we're facing an epidemic of opioids that is destroying our community among many, many other maladies of our culture. And I could not think of a time better than this one to say to those of you who are considering it to be a part of this global leadership summit that we host a campus for it in August. And I have some folks here who are going to just share their story, the impact that it's had on their life. And you'll get to know a little bit about them. Then after that, I have a few things that I need to say. And we're just glad for you to join us tonight on this. To my far left is Bud Hauser. And Bud, I want you to open up by telling what, go back in some history here in our connection at Southbrook to the Global Leadership Summit.
Okay, well, really an old-timer here. My wife attended the very first service at what was then called Centerville Christian Church. That was in 1986. And within about 7-8 months, she was dragging me along with her to this small church of less than 100 people. And over the years, I'd say I was a bit skeptical. I wouldn't say I was totally de-church skeptical, but I was skeptical. But the years went by, and fast forward 7 years later, I decided to publicly declare that, you know, Jesus is Lord of my life. And shortly after that, Charlie invited me to join what we called the leadership team at that time. And we had, you know, four other people, I believe, on that team. And, you know, Southbrook at that time, or we had just changed the name, we believed what God wanted us to do. And that was to reach people outside the church, to reach people that don't know what most of us know, to give them a chance for that real hope. And we heard about this church in Chicago that was doing a really good job of that, and maybe a few years ahead of us. And they said, we're going to have a conference. And we said, well, we can probably learn something. Let's go up, check it out. We did. And it turned out that very first conference for me to be a significant event in my life. And the reason it was, two things. I was actually working in this building right here for NCR at that time. And I was in the midst of a career crisis that focused on ethics and what's right and what's wrong. And I went to this first summit, and I came back totally understanding the concept of spiritual or scriptural-based leadership. And I said, that's how I'm going to do this. That's how I'm going to do this. So a personal impact on my life, on my professional life. But then our team realized that, wow, we came back. We were inspired. We were energized. We were better educated. And we decided we're going to come back again next year. And we came back every single year. Southbrook's been represented at all 21 of the leadership summits. This is our third year of hosting it. But the other thing that we learned was that in the early days and even today, we were faced with some things we didn't know quite what to do, quite where God was leading us. And so we'd go up to this summit, and we would hear something. We'd be inspired by something, but we'd find clarity. And we'd come back knowing, okay, we're very confident this is what we're supposed to do. This is how we're supposed to do it. Some of that stuff turned out to be good, fun stuff. Some of it turned out to be not so fun. And that's, you know, basically a 30-year history. Now, fast forward to now. This is our third year hosting this. We believe, you know, like Charlie said, this can have such an impact on the community and everyone around us, particularly people that are even outside the church, outside of Christ. And so we're working now with McGowan Braybender, Sesso Engineering, United Methodist Church, Chick-fil-A. I think I'm forgetting someone, but I want to mention we started a conversation with Wright-Patterson Air Force Base this year, and we're working with them. They're going to actually host the summit on the base this year for the people out at Wright-Patterson. So, again, that's, I hope that's not too long a history.
No,
but that's
no,
a,
and you know, it's so you know that this is not a fly-by-night endeavor for us. We're very rooted and invested in this. Bud spoke about the fact that many of you know this. This used to be an NCR facility, not this part of the building. We built this part in the atrium, but that used to be an NCR facility. And when we moved into this facility and then Dayton Christian a few years later moved into their facility. We had a lady stop in here. I think I've told this before, but I'm not sure. We had a lady stop in here one day randomly, and she said, "I just want to tell you that for 20 years I've been driving down Washington Church Road on the way to work, and every day I would pray that God would have those properties, that God would have those properties." And she said, "I just want you to know that." And I don't know who that was. I still don't know the name of the lady. But everybody has influence. Very likely she impacted you and you don't even know it. And that's the theme of this year's summit, is that everybody has influence. You're going to impact someone. What's amazing, just screw up really big and you'll see how much influence you have, okay? Because most of the time, people don't realize how big an impact they have until they really mess up, I guess is the way I should say it here, mess up. And so we want you to be equipped to maximize your influence. So I want you to hear a couple stories. Wendy Roop is to my left. Wendy is a leadership developer at CareSource. She's worked with EBS. She's worked with McGowan Brabender. Her passion is developing people. She's also married to Andy, and she is a mother of five. Wendy, you are very invested in leadership. Why? Why is Wendy Rubin? I think with five kids, it's safe to say you have plenty to do, right?
Yes.
But why are you so invested in this? Why are you invested in the summit?
So, first of all, just like the video said, and I think all of us believe, and probably most people, again, we all are leaders. And no matter the industry, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, no matter your title, leaders are faced with a lot of stress and just a lot of change going on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And bigger than that, they have very little time. Again, it doesn't matter who or where. Very little time to step back and create the space to focus on them and how they want to grow as a leader. And the summit provides that. And so we're all passionate about something. So that's the awesome thing about the summit, is that there are so many different speakers and topics that really help to speak to that. And I can speak for myself as a leadership coach. One of my responsibilities is to continue to grow myself. So if I don't come to things like this and invest in myself, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to give back to other people. So that's been huge.
And that's critical. You know, the great writer J. Wallace Hamilton wrote a book one time called How Long Is Your Shadow? Everybody has an influence. When Peter's shadow touched the lame man, he was healed. So everybody has a shadow. Everybody has a realm of influence. What is yours? What would you say on a daily basis? Your kids don't count, okay? That you got to eliminate that. But what is your sphere that you're developing?
Well, honestly, absolutely everyone I come into contact with. And I feel like anytime I run into anybody and I have time with anyone, I have a moment in time to be able to really help them realize all that they have within them. Specifically in my job now, I work with leaders anywhere from team leads, managers, directors, vice presidents. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, it doesn't matter what their level is in the organization, they're all facing very, very similar things.
Yeah.
And so being able to just allow that space for them, and I actually refer to it as sacred space, for them to be able to process through what they need to process through and spend some time on them. That's huge.
Well, and you know, there are two types of people in the world, givers and there are takers, and you're a giver, and I think you do live that out for sure. You build into people. To Wendy's left is Ron Todd. Ron was a college football player at Bowling Green State University. He was a sports agent. He is also a preacher. We'll try to get you out of here by 7:30 with two preachers on the stage.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And right now he is a senior advisor regarding minority affairs to Secretary of State John Husted. And Ron is a part of a church in Cincinnati. And Ron, you attended your first summit last year. And it was a wow for you. You attended it here. Tell Southbrook how it affected Ron Todd. You affect so many people. How did it affect you?
Well, praise God for you, Charlie, for your leadership influence in the kingdom. It's beautiful on a Saturday to see all these people in church, so praise God for that. It was very interesting for me. With my life, I've always didn't know I was an influencer. But from the summit, I realized that we all are leaders. We're all influencers. And that that gives us hope, but also gives us understand that we are somebody. But we're not somebody because of the way we are, but because Jesus died for us. So what this summit shows, Charlie, is that we all have gifts. Mm. Somebody's gifts to be here up on stage. Somebody's gifts to be a manager somewhere. Somebody's gifts are just to clean up. But we all have gifts. And God wants us all to use those gifts and to use that influence to help someone out. As you said earlier, you can really tell who you influence by if you mess up. And so you should always understand that God is looking at you too. That's what I learned from the summit. God's always looking. So we have to represent not ourselves, but represent God and the kingdom.
Yeah. You're taking this and now you're pollinating this into your work in urban areas, especially in Cincinnati. What are you doing now? I know that you are at work to bring other people to the summit. What else? How else is this changing? Like, Cincinnati is going to be different because of what?
Well, and it's a good question, Charlie, and I'm so blessed to have an office in Dayton and Cincinnati. With that, it's showing people that there is strategies for leadership. But you have to know how to use those strategies. And a lot of times people have these gifts, but they don't know. So my role is to make sure they come and see the summit, understand that they have gifts. I mean, I never forget what Bishop Jake said, that we all have gifts. We all have influence. Mm. But you have to be able to use that. A lot of times, and especially folks in urban areas, they don't know they have gifts. They've been told they can't do something, or you're not good, or because you look a certain way. But God, we all have those gifts. Yeah. We can do something.
Yeah, so often you'll see someone who has hospitality gifts. They can bake an apple pie that would just make your head spin, and they don't see that as a gift. And how they can build relationships. I mean, it's just amazing how often we look at, oh, no, that's not a gift, right? That's not an influence. Well, yeah, it is. Just let me eat your apple pie, and I'll show you how much influence, you know, that you have in my life, right?
Yeah, Charlie, I won't cook you apple pie. I can't. I love it, okay. But I can't cook, so...
Okay. Well, that's okay, Ron. You do other things well. To Ron's left is Leah Sparling. Some of you might recognize Leah because she works in our production team, but Leah leads Provoke, which is our 10-point satellite off the sun of the summit. So if you think of the Global Leadership Summit as like the sun, our Provoke gatherings once a month are 10 points of orbit around the sun of the summit. And so we're done for the summer. We had one last Tuesday. Mike Mateel was with us. And Leah is our primary leader of that endeavor. Leah, as a person who, you know, you're partially responsible for, then how does Southbrook take this 10 steps further every year? How does the summit impact you as a leader to help leaders who help leaders?
Wow. Well, I just got myself a new job description, I think.
You didn't know that you were doing that much, did you?
No, I didn't. Yeah. Now I do. As you said, we all have influence. Provoke is, I love what Wendy said, creating that space. As I talk with people that come in and out of our Provoke meetings, so many of them are saying, I'm tired, I'm an exhausted leader, I have high pressure, and there's so much going on. And we are tempted to compartmentalize spiritual life over here, business life over here, and everybody is asking, how do I combine the two? And Provoke is kind of one of those places we've been trying to do that and create that space of kind of come in, take a breath, take a seat, gather. We often say, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And so that's really what Provoke is trying to do, is create a space, a safe place for business persons to be able to combine head knowledge, heart knowledge, spiritual knowledge, business knowledge, mentorship, vulnerability. We're huge on that, and that's kind of what Provoke has been. But really, it's kind of, we've ended up meeting a need that we, I think that we knew that we maybe had, but certainly we have seen that develop over this last year. And so we've got some fuel, and we certainly have some momentum that we're looking to take and build into what Provoke, because we know there's a business community out there that wants to network and rub shoulders, but there's certainly a business community that wants to support one another and that knows that it has influence, and so how can they even spread that influence even more?
Yeah.
So that's what Provoke is trying to do, and GLS really is a huge launching pad for that.
It is. So everything's built around that.
It builds your vision. It expands your vision. It just opens your minds. There's just some of the most brilliant minds are speaking at GLS, and they're able to cast a vision. You will come away incredibly inspired, grateful, thankful, and you'll be going, "Wow! Can I attend next weekend?"
Yeah. Well, the one of the speakers this year is Sheryl Sandberg. Many of you know who that is. She's the chief operating officer at Facebook. But a while back, her husband, on vacation in Hawaii, keeled over, heart attack, gone. She has written a book called Plan B. It is so profound that one of the most recent heroin overdose funerals I did, I didn't say who it was because I thought that would be a distraction, but I used about two paragraphs I just quoted of how to help someone who's grieving. She so articulates how to help the grieving. So when you think about the summit, it's not, hey, here are seven slick strategies to make your company better. It is you're going to get hit in the gut with Sheryl Sandberg, I guarantee it, because she's still living within this grief. And, you know, what you guys are saying is not, hey, it's just not about business strategy. It's about, the people I know who walk into Provoke, they're tired. They're juggling 17 different things. But this has obviously had a huge impact on you. You, Fred Brooks, Beth Matthews, a number of others are leading this charge. It is an enormous volunteer structure that makes this happen. I think 200 volunteers, is that right? About 200 volunteers just to make that couple of days go. Why? Why are you, you, when I look at you now, I just see GLS on your forehead. You know, there you go. Yeah, you wear the shirt, literally. And so why? Why is Budhauser in this era of your life, investing so much in this?
I'm going to answer that question a couple different ways. First of all, folks out there, how many of you, if you've been to the summit, put your hand up, please. Keep it up for just a second. Now, if people out there have questions about what we're saying here, talk to someone that just put their hands up.
Yeah, okay? There you go.
That's one thing.
Way to empower, bud. You just empowered all these people.
That's the way I can dodge the question.
Yeah.
But a couple other points I just want to make is that a lot of people think, we're trying to get as many people in here because we make money doing this. We don't. This is an investment that Southbrook is making in Southbrook and in our community. And, the last part of the answer is, I go back to our mission, is to help de-church skeptics to live like Jesus Christ forever. And what better way to get folks from the outside world in, maybe break some barriers down.
Amen.
And right at the beginning of the summit, if you've been there, there's a disclaimer up front that says, we are unapologetically Christian.
Amen.
But we know a lot of you aren't. We're going to do some praying. If that's okay, you'll respect us, and we'll respect you. And that's really the ultimate driver. I've seen what it does for people. I've seen what it did for our team. I've seen what it's done for Southbrook. Our volunteers, our staff, our small businesses that are represented here in our large corporations. That's why.
Yeah. I think maybe in the last 20 years, the most read business guru, at least in our country, has been Jim Collins of Stanford University. And it was so neat watching him morph. Because he came to the summit in the late 90s and he had no relationship with God. There's no overt proselytizing that goes on. He just did an interview with Bill Hybels. And a couple years later, a relationship with Christ was real in his life. He's been there about three or four times. He's not there this year, correct? Is that right? Yeah, he's not on the faculty this year. But that's the nature of this event. Logistically, what do people need to know before we go?
First, I remembered the one sponsor or the partner we're working with, which is Kettering Health Network, is a big partner of ours in this. But the thing we want to let you know is, if you're on the fence at all, please sign up before July 11th because the price goes up. Right now, you can sign up for $89. The normal price is $199. That's a savings of $110. And to help that along, For the next few weeks, we'll have representatives out after every service out in the atrium to answer your questions. And today, we'll even have computers we can help you sign up. It's August 10th and 11th. I think that's it.
Yeah. There's one other thing I want to cover, because I know especially tomorrow we'll have a number of students here. Leah, you brought your daughter, your teenage daughter last year. As we transition here, tell any student who's here about that experience for her, for Faith.
Well, it was a little bit for parents, too. It was she kind of came along with me, and kind of at a time where she was on, like, on a 24-hour watch. And so I wanted her company, and I wanted her by my side, and so she just kind of needed to come. And I think it was accidental on my part because, I was watching her notepad thinking, like, you know, take notes, write that down, you know, isn't that good? And I just kind of sat back, and for whatever reason, probably the grace of God, I just didn't pressure her into what she was absorbing or making her pay attention. And it was hugely impactful for her. She listened. She doodled. I mean, she has amazing doodles that I actually still kept and kind of tucked away just as a reminder. But imagine the impact that the influence that you do have as a parent that you wish you maybe didn't have at times. But it is impacting your kids. They're watching what you watch. They're watching what you do. They're watching how you grow and listen. And I love what Wendy said earlier, too, about, you know, our influence scope is just much broader. And if we really truly believe that more is caught than taught, then our kids are catching all kinds of things. And so I think what GLS for your kids could be is just an opportunity for exposure. And exposure to open their mind and open their vision and just really glean, again, from some of the wisdom and the knowledge and the creativity. I mean, all of the speakers are amazing. They're funny. The summit is full of worship arts pieces and other types. I mean, comedians even throughout the summit. So it's not this just real stark business thing. It's a lot of fun. And this event here at Southbrook is a lot of fun. There are... I mean, it's full. This room is full, and a small theater is full, so there's people, and there's snack time, and there's, you know, lunch, and there's all kinds of really neat exposures. So I feel like for her, she remembers the summit, and she's looking forward to coming back again, and it may not be because she took particular notes and remembers those things, but imagine where in a couple years she looks back, and she's in her 20s, and she looks back to her teenage years and says, I love those leadership events. I love growing and developing as a leader, and she would have gotten that seed here.
Would you thank Bud and Leah and Ron and Wendy for just being willing to be up here tonight? Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Again, we've got people out there ready for you. It is an unbelievable bargain at $89. There are very few events that you'll attend for that kind of a price. Most of you, when I'm speaking, you don't look at me anyway. You look at the screens, and so it really won't be that much of a different experience for you to be a part of the summit. One of my favorite definitions of leadership is the art of disappointing people at a rate they can handle. Now think about that. I think it was Peter Drucker who said that, or Gabe Kaplan. I don't know who said it. But leadership is the art of disappointing people at a rate they can handle. And it is so true about leadership. It's part of the challenge of leadership. And I have some disappointing news to share with you. Because speaking of leadership, you know, leadership is not needed when things are going great, really. I mean, anybody can lead when things are going great. It's when things are not going well. That's when leadership really counts. And tomorrow, I will not be here at the 9:30 because I'm going to be down at Liberty announcing that we are closing Liberty tomorrow. We started this campus that was a chance. It was a risk. It was a hybrid. It wasn't really a campus. It wasn't really a church plant about 15, 16 months ago. And I remember, you know, I had my part of the garden when I was a kid, and sometimes my tomato plants didn't take root. You know, you ever have that happen where it just didn't take root? And Liberty never really took root. We started with 700 people down there, and the last month we've had about 100. Now, I don't know how smart you are, but that's not a good trend, okay? That is not a... I mean, like, you know, I can... That's not a good trend. And so we have been... And many of you know, I've been going down there every weekend, and we have poured our heart and soul into this, and it just hasn't worked. And I am okay with that. Now, it's personal, because what people often don't realize is ministry is so personal. It is so personal. So I will not try to paint this. It is a failure, and that's okay. And that's okay. I lean into leaders a lot, and both living and dead. And especially I read a lot about World War II, and this week I was reading some of General George S. Patton's stories. And we kind of think of General Patton as this invincible general who never lost a battle. And I was reading about, in September 1944, the Battle of Fort Driant. And he went into it with the assumption that he was going to have 400,000 gallons of fuel, and he didn't. There were 20,000 gallons of fuel delivered, and he went in totally with the assumption that he would have assets and resources that never showed up. And he got, you know, his tail kicked and had to go back and retreat and regroup, etc. And that's I'm reading this going, that's exactly where we are. There were resources that we assumed would happen there that did not happen. And it's time now for us to retreat and regroup. You need to know that the two staff we hired to be a part of that are going to come back here and be a part of this and make this place stronger. Everything we bought, the equipment that we bought, not a single bit of it will be wasted. We're going to be able to bring it back here and repurpose it in the chapel and some various areas. So it was a very quick fail, which anybody who's ever been in leadership knows, if you're going to fail, fail fast, right? And we did. We failed fast. And it was a very inexpensive fail in regards to it basically paid for itself. But I say that knowing there are many of you who gave volunteer time and money to make that happen. And believe me, I take that very personally. There's nothing to me that will get me going more than feeling like I wasted a volunteer's time or their money. And it is not wasted. It is not wasted. I really live with this, what Carol Dweck calls the open mindset. Closed mindset people believe that they have a fixed set of abilities, and so they fear failure because failure will expose them as inadequate. But open mindset people, she says, they have a belief that their talents are not fixed. They're flexible. And when they fail, they learn. And oh my goodness, have we learned a lot through this. We've learned so much about ourselves. We've learned so much about Southbrook, about our staff, just a bunch of different things that I look forward to sharing with you in coming months. Stacy, do you have my Apple Newton? There, thank you. I have some of you might remember this. Thank you. Some of you might remember this. In 1993, Apple came out with the Newton. It was a personal digital assistant. Anybody remember that? A PDA. This is actually a mock-up of one. And these things flopped. This is the worst product Apple ever put out. But it is a picture I wanted to show you tonight because the technology that was embedded in this, it was the origins of what you now have as your iPhone and your iPad. So the question is, was this a failure? It was a bad product, but it was a part of a greater success. And as long as we can learn from our failures, you know, the best definition of failure is not an event. Failure is the interpretation of an event. As long as you can learn from your failures, there's no end to what you can do in life. We have failed so much around this church. I mean, we've tried things that just flopped. We fail most of the time. We really do. And so this one's different because this one is so public, isn't it? So many of you were invested in this. So many of you were interested in this. And that does make it different. Remember this, friends. Failure gives you an opportunity for three things. It always does. It always will. It gives you an opportunity for objectivity. We thought this was true. That's not true. Objectively, this is true. We thought that we could create a hybrid of Southbrook. That's not true. That's just not going to work. because some things we've learned about who we are, it's not going to work. And so we have a lot more objectivity. I love that old story. Billy Graham used to tell a story of a little guy going out to hit the baseball. He had a ball and a bat, and he's swinging, and he swings, and he misses. I'm the greatest hitter in the world. I'm the greatest hitter in the world. He throws the ball up again. He misses. I'm the greatest hitter in the world. I'm the greatest hitter in the world. He swings again, misses. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. You know, sometimes you get creative too. You know, sometimes that failure is the source not just of objectivity, but it's a source of creativity where you go, wow, that doesn't work, but this is what we know about ourselves. And we certainly have experienced that. Failure is, let's be truthful, a source of humility where you go, okay, this is the reality of our limitations. And now we know them better. And now we're equipped to maybe do some other things that we weren't equipped to do. As I said, failure on a public level like this is difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. I've had in the last number of months some really, really anguishing moments of how can we make this work? How can we save this? How can we make this work? But I want those of you who volunteered, you may have volunteered down there, now you're back here. I truly believe in these words. This was what Coach Bear Bryant said. He said, if we have an intercepted pass, I threw it. I'm the head coach. If we get a punt blocked, I caused it. A bad practice, a bad game, it's up to the head coach to assume his responsibility. If anything goes bad, I did it. If anything goes semi-good, we did it. If anything goes really good, then you did it. And that is, I've always thought, that's just such a great definition of what leadership really is. Trust me, for me, because at the end of the day, I'm the stopgap on some of these things. This one, I take full responsibility for. And I say that, you must know, I don't make decisions in a vacuum. It's always in the context of plurality. But it is not the fault of those of you who put your time in there. It is not the fault of those of you who put your money into that place. It is on people like me. And God's not done with us yet, and he's still alive. Okay? Isn't that good? I mean, he's still alive. And he's still going to use us. And that's all I have to say about that. Let's pray. All right. So, Father, as we venture into this summer and we're looking at the impact that leaders had in the ancient world and informing your new community, the church, through the minor prophets, as we hear some modern day prophets in August, I pray that we will know that we never drift into maximizing our influence. It's always an act of intentionality that we do certain things to maximize who we are so that we can have a tremendous impact. It's really the commitment to just be ordinary in an extraordinary way just because we position ourselves under you. So now as we just put on the table tomorrow for the Liberty community, hey, we didn't get the job done. And that's okay. That's okay. God's still in charge and God's still using us. And there are 1 billion people in China who couldn't care less about this. And all those things that we'll keep perspective and we'll keep composure and we'll just keep surrendering to you for your good purposes. And thank you for using us in spite of ourselves. If you weren't in the church, Lord, it would have died a long time ago from mismanagement. That is the absolute truth. And so we give it all to you again and again and again. And we thank you in the name of Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We'll see you guys later.